It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Joining us is Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick. Coach, first of all, congratulations on back-to-back Show Me Showdowns for the Falcons.
Thanks, Kevin. It's been a fun ride.
Boy, and how difficult is it to do it in back-to-back seasons?
It really is, and we've talked about that. You know, I told the kids after the game yesterday that there was nothing to hang their heads about, and they should be extremely proud of the fact that they were able to do it in back-to-back years, because it's really, really difficult. You do it 1 year, and then the next year, you know, you've got that on your mind, and everybody else is really, you know, they know that you were there last year, and they're gunning for you, and to be able to do that is something that we're extremely proud of.
And you navigated through the pandemic as far as the scheduling is concerned, and you take a look at it from the standpoint of back-to-back visits down to Springfield, and you won over 20 games during the regular season. It was a great year for the Falcons, wasn't it?
Yeah, you mentioned the pandemic. That, for everybody, that was just a stressful strain on just, you know, trying to get in any kind of rhythm, you know, not knowing if the next game was going to be played, especially early in the season. And then, you know, when games were canceled because of COVID, trying to find replacement games and on a couple occasions scheduling games with, you know, less than 36 hours out. I know we scheduled a Helias game on short notice, and I think the flexibility that everybody showed this year was amazing. And, you know, I know you and I have talked about it before, but what the administrators, the ADs, the superintendents, the principals did for us and the kids to make sure that we were able to play shouldn't go unnoticed.
Yesterday was a state semifinal basketball game down in Springfield against the Vashon Wolverines. Before we go into that basketball game in a little more detail, kind of interesting to play at 10 o'clock in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, not something you do at any point in the year, so it changes your routine a little bit. It forced us to come down to Springfield the night before and get up pretty early to eat a pregame meal. And we joke throughout the year when we play on days that there's no school and it's in the evening, we always joke, man, I'd rather just play at 10 in the morning just so we didn't have to sit around and wait. Well, mm-hmm. We got that yesterday, and it was fine. I actually, you know, don't feel bad about our kids' energy and effort to start off the game. I don't really think the game time had any effect on the game whatsoever.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You get done with a basketball game and you say, where do we go to lunch?
Yeah, exactly. And it was bizarre. You know, we go into the locker room afterwards and it's about 11:30. Yeah, this is a little different.
All right, Vashon wins the game yesterday by a score of 69-42. This basketball team from St. Louis is just a great ball club, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you look at them, they are athletic, they've got size, they've got speed, quickness, and then on top of it, they have a ton of skill. And when you put all that together, there's not a whole lot, it's really hard. We were all week trying to find a weakness, mm-hmm. You know, what can we exploit? And, you know, we really just couldn't find anything. You know, we came out in the zone, we thought that it was a, you know, if we could get them to shoot more jump shots than layups, that we would have a better chance. But as you saw, once they got going and got a little more comfortable with the zone that we were playing, they started knocking shots down.
And the defensive pressure just relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, it just keeps coming in waves. You can't simulate it. You know, all week in practice, we're trying to go 5-on-7, 5-on-8, just to try to simulate, their speed and quickness. And it just really doesn't do it justice. Film doesn't do it justice until you see it in person. And you know what happens is, you know, you get to you start playing at a speed that you're not used to, and then when you finally do get a shot that is open and uncontested, you're looking out of the corner of your eye or over your shoulder because you just expect that they're coming, and you rush things a little bit, you shoot it a little quicker, you're thinking more about the contact. And you know, we just didn't shoot very well. We were 0-for-12 from the three-point line, and that's not typical of us as a team. We shoot over 40% from the three-point line, but we were playing at a speed that was a little quicker than we were used to.
Yeah, it was a situation where yesterday was the only time all season, I think you were 0-for-12 from the three-point arc.
Yeah, yeah, it was the first time that we had not made a three in a game the entire season.
You know, we talk about their relentless pressure. The other thing with regards to that is the conditioning, because these players, I mean, they just went from one baseline to the other.
Yeah, they're in great condition, and you know, if they really do a good job of running guys in and out. They can go eight or nine deep, and to be honest with you, they don't lose much when they sub, and they keep guys fresh. And even their two guys that are playing D1 next year, they've got one going to UNLV and one going to BCU, and those guys even rotated in and out quite a bit. They just stay fresh.
Good start for you yesterday. In fact, it's 8-7 Vishon late in the opening quarter. Then they went layup, dunk, layup in the final minute and got the 14-7 lead after one, and then scored the first 6 points of the second quarter.
Yeah, you know, I thought our zone kept them off balance early. And we knew that when they were at their best was when they were getting the ball, you know, in transition, scoring off of live ball turnovers. And we knew we had to limit those. You know, so I thought our game plan was good. We talked all week about getting off to a better start this year than we did against Cardinal Ritter last year when we were down 15-0 in the first quarter. So I was pleased with our start. You know, they just, like we've mentioned, once they get one steal and run out, it's like a snowball effect. It just goes, it goes real quick.
24 turnovers for you in the basketball game. I think they had 17 steals in the contest. And, of course, that 24 number is way higher than all season long for you.
Yeah, we average about a little over 13 turnovers a game, and that was the number one key on our game plan, was to limit live ball turnovers that lead directly to points on the other end. We had talked all week about it was probably better, you know, if we were in trouble, to just throw the ball out of bounds so we could at least get our defense set. But like I said, it's kind of like blood in the water with their defense. They get one run out for a steal, and then you get to throw a dunk in there, and you don't have enough timeouts to stop the bleeding.
You know, you talked about crashing the boards in the pregame before the game yesterday between you and Vishon, and they out-rebounded you 15-7 in the first half, but you ended up out-rebounding them for the ball game 25-24.
Yeah, I thought that was a difference in the one of the small differences in the second half was the fact that I thought we rebounded better, limited their second chance points, and I thought that was one of the reasons that we were at least able to score a little bit more, is, you know, getting the rebound and then being able to get up the floor, you know, them not scoring and being able to set their press. You know, we were better in transition after a missed shot, so when we secured those rebounds, we were able to, you know, run some offense on the other end.
We talk about their pressure, but you know what? They shot 57% from the field in the basketball game.
Yeah, and you watching them on film, like I said, you're trying to find a weakness, and you're thinking, okay, they guard well, they score in transition. Man, surely they don't shoot the ball, you know, that well. And man, they do. They just, and what I'm amazed at, is the fact that how patient they are offensively. You know, usually teams that score in transition as much as they do, they want to play fast and they want to continue to score, but if they don't have something in transition, they bring the ball out and they're going to pass it around until they get a great look.
You know, and in the basketball game, I was impressed in the second half. They've had sometimes close to twice the lead at 34-17, you know, those types of things, and your players just kept going all 32 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I know our guys, and I knew that regardless of how the game was going, they're going to keep coming. They're going to know there's no quit. And, you know, that's just the background that they have in sports and competition. I knew that wouldn't be the case.
Boy, Luke Northweather, I thought, had a great game for you. 21 points. He had double-double in the basketball game. And, I mean, he was just really going at it for 32 minutes.
Yeah, I think Luke on that stage yesterday against, you know, one of the best teams in the state, regardless of class, I think he really showed that he's an elite level player that is going to have the opportunity to play at the next level. You could tell he belonged on the floor yesterday with those athletes, with guys that are going to play at the Division I level. And, you know, it was a physical game for him as well. I thought he adjusted really quickly early in the game to the physicality, to the speed of the game, and showed, you know, why he's been doing what he's doing all year for us. You know, he averages 27 points and 12 rebounds a game for us, and to do it at that level just shows you what type of player he is.
Spend a moment, Coach. Talk to me about your three seniors.
Man, I just, you know, we talked about this after the game yesterday. You come in as a freshman, and they're, you know, 10 to 12 freshmen playing freshman basketball, and then you go all 4 years. Those are the three guys that made it all 4 years and have done absolutely everything that we have asked them to do, from a leadership standpoint, from an effort standpoint, you know, and no complaints. They were kind of our set the tone every day in practice, and just you know, led our team in effort and attitude. You think of Jake Closser and Carson Pringer and the experience they had on the football field and the 4 years they've had, two state championships in football, two Final Fours in basketball, Justin Backus, you know, the role that he played for us throughout the season, you know, especially when Luke was out with quarantine, just meant so much to what we accomplished.
Coach, what do you take away from the season?
You know, I sit back and reflect, and, you know, it's a day later, and it's just, I think about COVID. I think about everything that all schools and teams went through, just the uncertainty of the season, and to be able to, you know, continue to show up every day and grind and focus, try to put all of that aside and be ready to play, you know, each and every day. It was mentally taxing at times, you know, for the coaches and everything else. But I'm proud of the kids for just showing up every day and really not letting that affect their effort or anything. And, you know, being able to get, you know, 29 games in is, you know, awesome.
Coach, thanks for the visit, not only today, but throughout the season on the coaches' shows and pregame shows. We enjoyed the ride.
Well, Kevin, we really appreciate the coverage and everything that you do for us and all the sports in Jefferson City.
Coach, we'll see you next season. It's right around the corner, you know.
Yeah, to be here before you know it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Cancel culture. Now they want to ban Dr. Seuss books. Watch Newsmax TV as it exposes cancel culture's dangerous agenda. Tune into Newsmax TV for blockbuster shows with Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Rob Schmidt, and more. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your operator. Newsmax is free on smart TVs and Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. And download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching. Millions already are. So should you.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
It doesn't happen often, but it's like a second Christmas morning. It's tax refund time. Turn that chunk of change from Uncle Sam into an all-new bathroom from Bath & Home Transformations. They're the only full-time bath remodeler in Jefferson City specializing in grout-free systems. And ask about 12-month interest-free financing. Quicker, nicer, and easier on the wallet than the tax man.
Hi, this is Chuck with Bath & Home Transformations. Don't move, improve. Visit us online at bathtrans.com.
At Jefferson Bank, we understand that it takes more than a good coach and talented players to be a great team. It's more than a well-equipped facility or good-looking uniforms. At Jefferson Bank, we know a team's success is influenced by what takes place outside the training area. It's people in our schools and community supporting you and believing in you that makes you great. We proudly support our local students and their activities. At Jefferson Bank, there's more. Member FDIC.
The year is 2021. Meanwhile, inside the repulsive reptilian lair of torrential Rhaenys Rex. Basically, he says our rooftops aren't ready for his rampage of relentless rainfall. But what's this? It looks like a signal has been sent for the Great Panther!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. Send us a signal at HodgesMo.com or call 573-ROOFING.
Home of the Gray Panther since 1976.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
He's the voice of the Missouri State Lady Bears. Joining us is Tom Ladd. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great.
All right. The Missouri State Lady Bears are having a great year. Tell us about them.
Yep. Been nationally ranked all season long. 21-2 right now. Got a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, which for them will begin Monday night. They'll take on UC Davis, so a team out of the Big West Conference. They come in at 13-2. But, yeah, good season for the Lady Bears. They went through the Missouri Valley Conference unscathed at 16-0. Really, a couple little blemishes. They lost a game to Wake Forest early in the season, played 3 games in 3 days in Florida after beating Maryland. Had a little lull the next day and lost to Wake Forest, and then lost to South Dakota State at home. So they're 2 losses, but other than that, they've kind of dominated teams in the Missouri Valley Conference, and they've just carried over what they did a couple years ago when they made it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament.
They won the regular season conference title, and it was interesting that last week, I think at one point in time, they withdrew from the conference tournament, didn't they?
They did. There was a COVID scare, and I say scare. The team that they were scheduled to play in the semifinals, Bradley, there was all kind of rumors coming out that there were several players that had tested positive for COVID, and it ended up being someone in their travel party, but it wasn't a player. And the coaching staff, the administration at Missouri State, more worried about playing in the NCAA tournament as opposed to playing in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And they've been through it this year. They've had a couple players that sat out extended games due to COVID. They lost a full month early in the season because of COVID, both for them, and then they lost some time for a couple of teams that they were playing. So it's been a crazy year, and with the team pretty much on a roll and knew that they were already in the NCAA tournament, they thought it was more important that they planned for that than play in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament.
Lady Bears are riding a 17-game winning streak. They last lost back in December. 6 seniors on this team. They average 71 points a ball game, give up 57 points a contest. One of the numbers I thought really stood out to me, out-rebounding opponents by almost 11 rebounds a game.
That's a big stat, and I look at that when I look at the matchup Monday night. It's real similar when you look at UC Davis, the stats. They both teams have the Conference Player of the Year for Missouri State. That's Bryce Caleb. Both teams have the Defensive Player of the Year in their conference for Missouri State. That's Jasmine Franklin. They have the Coach of the Year. Stats pretty similar when you look at it, but rebounding really sticks out. UC Davis out-rebounding their opponents by just 2. Barely 2, and the Lady Bears at almost 11. So that's a huge stat, and I mean it's a big team. They start Jasmine Franklin averages almost a double double. She's at 9.2 rebounds a game, but she's a beast down low. They've got a couple other post players that really do a great job on the boards. Abby Hipp, who's from the Kansas City area. They've got Emily Gartner, who is a monster down low, 6'4", and I mean really tough to move, just solid player, and all of them are upperclassmen. So then they bring in another player that transferred in from Auburn, Abby Jackson, and just as good a post play out of this team as I've ever seen at Missouri State.
You know, UC Davis, the team that they'll play Monday night, missed 13 straight games from November the 28th through January the 16th. So they played only 15 games during the regular season heading into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was early in the season. So I talked with Coach Mox, Amaka Gugwa Hamilton, the Lady Bears coach, and she feels like, early in the season, if you played them, would have been different than playing them now. They're more on a roll now. They did miss those 15 games early. They started off, they played a game and then missed the 15, and now back to playing, several games in a row. So while they didn't play as many games, the Lady Bears missed a full month as well. They only played 23.
Right.
So, it's not a huge difference, but she feels like they're playing pretty good basketball right now after going through the entire conference season.
UC Davis, I believe, 9-1 in Big West Conference play heading into this basketball game. Monday night scheduled tip-off at 6:30. I believe this is the first ever meeting between these two on the basketball court. Give me a number one or a couple of keys as you take a look at this basketball game on Monday.
Sure, and I think, as we had just mentioned, rebounding is going to be a big thing. I think the Lady Bears will have a huge advantage on the boards. Defense is going to be key. As you look at the two teams, both really good defensive squads, you wonder, you've got Missouri Valley Conference, which was most of the season ranked seventh in the nation, which is a great, as good as it's ever been. And then the Big West is more in the teens. So has UC Davis played the kind of schedule that Missouri State has? Is that going to be a factor? Defense is going to be a huge key on both sides, obviously, but I think the Lady Bears just get them on the boards, and that's been something they've dominated on the last couple of years. It started really a couple seasons ago when they did make it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, and a lot of those players are back. So this is a tournament-tested team. They've got a big win over Maryland, a team that, got a top seed, a number two seed in the tournament this year. So this is a team, I think, that is on a mission right now. They felt like they were messed with a little bit last year, not able to compete in the NCAA tournament. They won their conference and would have definitely gone again. So they're on a mission this year, and I think playing the kind of game they've been playing all season long, very aggressive defensively, get it up and down the floor as they can, and then, really killing the opponent on the boards.
Tom, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Monday night.
Kevin, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, it's an NCAA tournament first round game on Monday, scheduled tip-off at 6:30. Game will be played down in San Antonio, Texas. First ever meeting between the Missouri State Lady Bears and UC Davis. As Tom mentioned, the Lady Bears come in with a mark of 21-2 on the season. UC Davis with a mark of 13-2. Missouri State, the number five seed in their region, and that ties the program's highest seed ever in an NCAA tournament. Again, first ever meeting between these two teams on Monday night. The Missouri State Lady Bears won their second consecutive Missouri Valley Conference regular season title this year with a mark of 16-0. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show right here on KWOS.
The voice of conservative talk radio.
I love you, Rush. And I am a conservative and not a feminazi because of you.
Rush Limbaugh.
You're a voice of reason in a time of seems like mega darkness here.
Gone, but never forgotten.
I'd first like to thank you for the free education, for your commitment to America, and for the memory.
Forever Rush.
I want to personally thank Rush Limbaugh for changing my life.
104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
ShopLitMo.com. Savings just a click away.
Some fun for your family, a friend's night out, a treat for yourself. ShopMidMo.com is a delicious way to spend a day. Gift certificates up to 50% off from Honey Baked Ham, Andy's Hickory Pit, Subway, and many more local businesses. Save time, save money at
ShopMidMo.com. ShopMidMo.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
The Missouri Tigers are in the NCAA basketball tournament. Joining us is Learfield's Missouri Net Sports Director, Bill Pollack. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
It'll be a big game tonight. Number 8, Oklahoma. Number 9, Missouri.
Yeah, two teams that are really pretty similar. You know, when you look at their records and you look at the type of seasons that they had, the Sooners come into this game with a 15-10 record. They were 9-8 during SEC play. The Tigers, they were 16-9, 8-8 in conference play. Both of these teams early on in the season had some high aspirations. The Tigers getting as high as number 10 in the country, and then they cooled off. And same thing for the Oklahoma Sooners. They were the first team to ever beat four top 10 teams in a month, and then they cooled off. So you have two teams that come into this tournament kind of scuffling here at the end of the year, much different teams than what they were at the beginning.
Yeah, you take a look at the Missouri Tigers, and I think they lost 6 of their last 9 games. Oklahoma lost 5 of its last 6. Is that why they got the 8 and 9 seeds?
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, the Tigers certainly have some big wins when you look at what they did earlier this year. You know, victories against Oregon. You know, they beat Liberty there in the tournament. Wichita State, Illinois, that was a big game for them. And then an early win against Arkansas at the beginning of the year. But yeah, you know, not only did they lose some games, but, you know, they had Jeremiah Tillman who missed a couple with the death of his grandmother. So they had some things that popped up during the year that, you know, kind of knocked them out of whack. I think with Missouri, the issue for them is just finishing off games. They had a great rally against TCU in the SEC Big 12 Challenge where they were down big, came back and rallied. And they had done that a couple times early in the year. But down the stretch, they had leads. Some of them they hung on and won. Others they let slip away. So that's a concern. How do they play in the final 8 minutes? Oklahoma, same type of team in terms of being in a lot of close games down the stretch against a lot of good teams. Big 12 is a very solid conference. And where they were hitting and making shots early in the year and getting those big victories and those big key buckets, they weren't falling at the end. So that's what makes this such an intriguing 8-9 matchup and the toughest 8-9 matchup out of the four with this bracket, because you just don't know who's going to step up, who's going to hit the big shot, and can either team finish down the stretch.
What's your thoughts about Missouri being the number 9 seed?
I think it's fair. I really do. I mean, they had some big wins, but, you know, again, you got to look at the SEC conference. In my opinion, I don't think it's very strong. Kentucky had a down year. So to finish 8-8 in your conference, that to me is a, you know, an alarm that goes off. So I think they were seeded fine. I mean, I think they could have gone 8-9. I think you could have flipped the switch there. I think maybe because Oklahoma had perhaps an above 500 conference record by just one game. Maybe that's why they got the nod. But yeah, I think 8-9 is certainly deserved because they lost some games that they shouldn't have. And, you know, had they just won, you know, 2, maybe even 3 of those, I think they could have been a higher seed. I know right before their losing streak, and that was when Jeremiah Tillman was out, and it came, it may have come out the day that they beat Alabama or right after that. They were seeded as a potential, you know, 4, as high as a 4 seed. So then they turn around, you lost at Ole Miss, you lost a rematch with Arkansas that you probably should have won at home, and then you went down to Georgia and lost by 10. So I think that really soured a lot of people within the committee as far as just how highly seeded the Tigers should be.
Before we step into more detail with regards to this game tonight, SEC well represented in the NCAA tournament, I think 6 teams.
Yeah, they did. I mean, that was with Kentucky having a down year.
Right.
You know, listen, Florida played well. Tennessee was up there near the top. Now, listen, Florida had a tough time against Virginia Tech. They had to pull that out in overtime. Tennessee gets upset. So you start to see some of that stuff. And, listen, the Power Fives are always going to be well represented. But I still question just how deep of a conference this was. There were a lot of teams at the bottom of this conference that struggled. South Carolina, you know, Vandy, those type of teams. So you were either feasting off of those or, you know, kind of muddling in the middle with, you know, the rest of them. I never felt like there were a lot of teams that kind of pulled away. So that's just my view of it. Obviously, I think the Big 12 is even a more solid conference than the Big 10, and a lot of the experts would go against that and say the Big 10 is the top conference. So, yeah, I don't know. There were some good teams there, but I don't know. That first showing here this first night was a little sketchy for the SEC.
Didn't see the finals in the late games. Was Ohio State the highest seed to lose yesterday?
Yeah, that was a big upset. Oral Roberts, that was a team that Missouri saw at the beginning of the year. They played well, and I had Ohio State going really far in this tournament. I thought they were going to be a solid team. But, that was an upset, and then Purdue got upset too. So the Big Ten took some hits yesterday on their first night.
All right, Missouri against Oklahoma, tip-off scheduled for 6:25 this evening. It's the 212th meeting between Missouri and Oklahoma in basketball, and it's only the second time in the NCAA tournament that they've met on the hardwood floor, first time since 2002.
Yeah, it's an old rivalry that gets rekindled, and that's kind of neat and draws some interest. So I think anytime you can meet those old conference foes, at least for the fans, I don't think the players have much of a connection with that. I don't believe Konzo Martin does. I don't know how much that plays into getting pumped up for this game. But for the fans, though, yeah, to see a former Big 12 opponent get them in the opening round, absolutely. I think it means a lot for them. And a really interesting game. Oklahoma's going to be without Davion Harmon. That is their second leading scorer. He averages just under 13 points. They're still going to have Austin Reeves. He's the top player. Look for Drew Smith to kind of get that assignment to try to slow him down. He's a really good shooter. He does take some shots from three, but he's a guy that's going to try to work inside, shoots 43%. So that's their big guy, 17.7 points per game. The matchup, though, it hasn't been discussed a lot. Everybody's been talking about Austin Reeves, but I really think this Brady Manek against Jeremiah Tillman matchup is going to be very interesting to watch, because Manek gives an inch to Tillman, but he's more of a stretch four guy. I wouldn't say he's a solid five, a solid center big man. And he's had to go up against some pretty decent talent in the Big 12, Derek Culver of West Virginia. And so they're going to try to go man-to-man and let Manek handle Jeremiah Tillman. And I think it's going to be very crucial for the Tigers to get Tillman involved early. They're going to have to get the ball down to him, because we've seen teams in the SEC double, sometimes triple team when Tillman gets the ball and he's got to pass it out top. And SEC teams were telling the Tigers, hey, beat us with the three if you're going to beat us. If they've got that single-man matchup, they've got to try to get Tillman involved. Now, if Tillman starts having success, Lon Kruger will certainly make adjustments and slide some help over to get him, but then that's going to open up your outside shooting. On the flip side of it, Brady Manek takes the second most three-point attempts for the Sooners. He attempted 116 of them, hits from 36%, so he likes to step outside and shoot the three. So how does Konzo counteract that defensively? Does he bring Jeremiah Tillman out to guard him? Do they do something else? So you're going to have Tillman guard a little more of the floor, which might not be a bad thing, because it might keep him out of foul trouble if Manek is going to shoot more from the outside. But let's see if Oklahoma perhaps tries to drive in on Tillman and maybe get him in foul trouble, get him on the bench, and then you've got to rely on Mitchell Smith to try to defend. So that will be the matchup that I think is really going to be interesting. And I've talked to a couple of people on the Oklahoma side, and they've kind of said the same thing, that they really want to see this Manek and Tillman matchup. So watch for that tonight.
Is Oklahoma a good shooting team?
They can be, yeah. They shot 44% as a team, as a whole. But again, I think there were situations where their record could have been a lot better had they hit some crucial shots. So they are good, but still, if you're close with them, then you've got to hit your shots down the stretch, and that's going to be the key for Oklahoma. Can they make their shots down the stretch? And I think for the key for Missouri is, can they just not turn the ball over? Give themselves opportunities to get good shots down the stretch. And I think that's the difference between these two teams. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Missouri 7-1 in games decided by five or fewer points this year.
Yeah, and I think some of that is from Konzo Martin with coaching. You know, he preaches tough defense, and he preaches, you know, being gritty. And he really wants the guys to not focus on whether or not their shots are falling. And I think a lot of coaches do that. But I think Konzo really, really stresses that and tries to tell the guys, hey, look, if the shot's not there, there's other things you can do to help this team. You can get your arms up on defense. You can get in the passing lanes, tip balls, fighting for rebounds. Those little plays that maybe don't show up in the score sheet and maybe as fans, as we're watching, we don't necessarily see, but those can be big plays. They can be big defensive plays for you, just holding onto the basketball, keeping a possession. So Missouri can do it. They get a little shaky sometimes, though. The final, you know, 5 minutes of a game can be really interesting, but they do have that toughness, and now we'll see what they can do, you know, under the big lights of the NCAA tournament.
Bill, the Tigers are looking for their first win in the NCAA tournament since 2010. Do you, as a coach, use that as motivation, or you block out that noise?
I think they talk about it. Konzo, in fact, mentioned it. You know, he's got a lot of seniors on this team, guys that when things were lean and they didn't have a lot of success. Guys stuck with the program, and he really wants to see them get a win. So I don't know if he's looking at necessarily the big historical perspective of things, but I think just the journey that these guys have gone on, the guys that have been there for 3-4 years, you know, this is your opportunity. And I know they're not looking too far ahead, and you've got to focus on Oklahoma, but it is important for the program and for these guys to get that first win, because then they have to take the overall number one seed on in Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. And you certainly don't want to look ahead, but you certainly know that the road gets tough pretty quick. I mean, Oklahoma's a really good team, and then you really ramp it up against the team that's had a good season this year. So, I think you just focus on the journey of what it took for you guys to get to this point. You earned it. You had some big wins. You were ranked 10th in the country at this time. Now, listen, let's flush out how we kind of stumbled down the stretch, and let's finish this thing strong and try to get a win here today.
Missouri versus Oklahoma, number one key from Bill Pollack.
Well, number one key, I think, for the Tigers is, you know, good shot selection. They can't turn the ball over. When they go through those stretches where Oklahoma goes on a run, they can't amplify that by making mistakes. They got to stay with their game. Mizzou can come back, so if they fall behind, they just have to stay the course, keep playing their game, keep their head straight, and that'll be a big key for them. Just stick around. You stick around against Oklahoma, I think you can finish against the Sooners.
Bill, thanks. Always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Learfield's Missouri Net Sports Director Bill Pollack. Again, tip-off scheduled for 6:25 this evening. Missouri, the number 9 seed in the region, 16-9, meets the number 8 seed Oklahoma Sooners. They are 15-10. Back with more after the break. The Coaches Show on KWOS.
Cancel culture. Now they want to ban Dr. Seuss books. Watch Newsmax TV as it exposes cancel culture's dangerous agenda. Tune into Newsmax TV for blockbuster shows with Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Rob Schmidt, and more. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your operator. Newsmax is free on smart TVs and Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. And download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching. Millions already are. So should you.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
In gym class, we've learned how to run the obstacle course. At home, I've learned how to do backflips on the trampoline. And in school, we've learned just how important exercise and physical activity is to the health of your heart. But, Mom and Dad, did you know that the Missouri Heart Center helps diagnose, treat, and prevent heart diseases? They'll tell you the same thing my teachers told me. Exercise is key to a healthy, happy heart, so you don't miss a beat. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri, MoHeartCenter.com.
Batteries Plus Bulbs in Jefferson City wants to remind everyone to check your batteries. The start of daylight savings time is a great cue to change the batteries in your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to keep your family safe. But why not expand on that? Check your TV remotes, garage door openers, thermostat, home security system, wireless gaming controllers, and even your cell phone battery. Change the batteries that need it and note the ones that don't for next time. Get to Batteries Plus Bulbs today or go to batteriesplusbulbs.com to check out their promos to save on what you need.
Okay, we now have Steve from Steve's Pest Control. We'll be addressing your questions on the spring invasion. Steve?
Steve, front corner.
Hi, let's start with you, sir, in the third row.
Last year's fall invasion was terrifying for many families. How do you propose we deal with the invaders this spring?
Well, not to worry. First thing, just call us at Steve's Pest Control. We'll get you started on a five-star advantage plan.
Steve, is it true that the pests are becoming self-aware?
No, not really.
And that they're trying to enslave the entire human race?
That's fake news.
Steve, I'm over here, back corner.
But Steven, is it true that there could be hundreds of termites living underneath my home?
Honestly, it's more like millions. Folks, it's okay. All you have to do is calmly, quietly pick up your phone and call us at Seize Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem and keep you protected. I guarantee it.
Now you've got a friend in the pest control business, Seize Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Missouri State High School Activities Association Communications Director Jason West. It's the last day of the basketball season today down in Springfield.
It is, and the sun is shining and looks to be a very good day.
You know, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the spring sports season last year was canceled. This fall sports season was held as well as the winter sports season. What were some of the challenges that you had to navigate through to be able to have the fall and winter sports seasons?
Well, I think the biggest challenge was just having correct information and being able to constantly update plans and procedures according to what was going on. The biggest issue of having a statewide rule or procedure was that there were so many different parts of the state that had varying degrees of policies and procedures of their own. And so the difficult part for our office was coming up with something that would fit every situation and that was changing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So just having a generic kind of general plan in place has certainly helped us reach where we are now.
You know, we mentioned the fact that the spring sports season was canceled due to the pandemic. Were you ever in a situation, either in the fall sports season or this winter sports season that will conclude today, ever in a situation where there was a possibility that you would have to stop it?
I don't believe we were because of not having a spring and knowing what that did to the students. Not just the parents and coaches, but the effect that we saw on the students, that it was going to be everything that we can do to make sure that this year goes off, we like to say goes off without a hitch, but at least we have those opportunities.
You have an opportunity to step back. What'd you learn from the pandemic and going through those seasons?
I would say the biggest lesson that we took out is that people are patient, that they can be flexible and accommodating. You know, we wouldn't be here today getting ready for these state championships and third place games if it weren't for the dedication that the coaches, administrators, parents, students had to reach this point because this was the ultimate team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did you have to make sure you were doing what you needed to do, but you had to have trust in your teammates, even your opponents, that they were doing what they needed to do to be able to have this opportunity.
During the sports season, the fall and in the winter, there were occasions where some teams had to cancel games. Did they make those decisions? Were the association, were you involved in any of those decisions?
No, most of those were, in fact, all of them were a local decision. And our office tried to stay out of the way as much as possible to allow for those local schools to be able to do what they need to do and what they could do for their people. We didn't want to get too involved in that because we don't know what they're going through, just like they don't know what the other corner of the state is going through. So a lot of those decisions were made at the local level.
And you mentioned to me earlier that if there was a situation where a gym they said you need to wear a mask at the basketball game. That was a decision that was made by the school in consultation with the local health department. It was not a decision made by the association.
Right. We wanted to make sure that the membership were following their local standards. And so we did have parts of the state that played basketball in masks. They played volleyball in masks in the fall. Playing football on the sidelines had a mask at the ready. There were some parts of the state that were fine and didn't wear a mask during play or were able to have more people attend the games and have more spectators than others. But because they knew what their area was going through, they could customize those health orders to meet what they were in.
As you went through both the fall and winter sports seasons, you had to make some changes. Taking a look at some of the changes that you made, and in particular basketball, where the higher seed in district play hosted a basketball game, and when you got out to sectionals and quarterfinals, the high schools would host those games. Are there some changes that you had to make in the fall and the winter due to the pandemic, things that you may do on a permanent basis moving forward?
We'll certainly take a look at that. There may be some things, the basketball playoffs being at a host site instead of at a neutral site there was a lot of positive feedback with that. Not saying that that's going to stay, but that's certainly going to be a discussion point with the advisory committee when they meet here in a few weeks. Same with the wrestling and the changes we made there, that's going to be discussed at the advisory committee. So there may be some things that are looked at that kind of happened out of necessity this fall and winter that people may have liked enough that they want to see more of.
Jason, we have a couple of minutes before we have to end the program, but I wanted to touch one issue with you before we let you go, and that's basketball officials. Are you having an issue across the state with not having enough basketball officials, or not as many as you would like to have?
Well, I would say we could always have more. But we don't want to get too selfish. But we have not seen, like we did with football a couple of years ago, where we didn't have enough officiating crews for the number of games that were being played. And so there had to be some schedules juggled around a bit. I don't believe we've reached that point yet in basketball, but we're getting close. And so we would certainly entertain a lot more people that would like to get into officiating.
If someone wants to become an official, what do they need to do?
Well, we have information on our website, www.mshsaa.org. There's an officials page that has some introductory info on it, and you can leave your name and number, and we'll get with you and kind of walk you through the steps. There's a lot of great local associations that officials are a part of that kind of help not just beginning officials but veteran officials, and kind of mentor people, those are great places to kind of network and just get to know the game better. And they have regular meetings and talk through different scenarios, and it's not just people swapping war stories. They're very insightful and can be very productive.
About a minute left in our program. You have the state finals and the third place games down at JQH Arena in Springfield, as well as the Hammond Student Center down in Springfield. Have you had good crowds the first couple of days and last weekend as well in classes 1, 2, and 3?
We did. We do have kind of reduced spectator capacities in both venues, which, our limits are about 50% for each venue. So we're a little limited there when comparing this year to past years. But one thing that has not changed is the energy that the spectators bring. We had a great atmosphere for the Class 3 boys game between Hartville and Monroe City last week. We've had some great crowds in that respect. Last night, the Boonville-Benton game with the Class 4 girls was just a fun game to watch as a spectator. And, watching the fans from both schools try to push their teams across the finish line, that was just really neat to watch and was a great atmosphere. So I think even with the reduced capacities that we've had some great atmospheres. And for some of these teams, these are still the biggest crowds they've played before this year. Some of them, this is the first time they've had spectators watch them all year long. So that kind of is a shell shock the first couple of minutes of the game. But I think atmosphere-wise, this year's been really, really good.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.